Podcast, podcast for seedsing.com. I am your host, R.D. Kulik, and after his long-awaited southern part of America tour after a few weeks back as the greatest other host, Ty, how are you today, Ty?
Hi, everybody. Doing good, although I thought it would be cooler when I got back home from Florida, but we are in the midst of a heat wave right now.
Oh, no, it is hot as balls outside, and my son is doing his cross-country practice and just sitting in the car, letting them out. I'm like, no, this is too hot for me. I can't deal with this. You know, they say that you like the weather of whenever you were born. So like, I like spring weather. I was born in May. My son loves winter, which blows my mind, but he was born in January.
I like the fall though. So what does that say about
Yeah,
that?
I know. You're on the wrong side. Well, I guess technically you were born in the fall.
Is it December? Well, I guess early December.
Yeah, but it's not. That's not fall weather. So
I'm like 9 days away from winter, yeah, according to the calendars.
So I don't know. I mean, we're already in the spot of we have to think about where our kid's going to go off to college. And he's, well, I want to go somewhere where it's colder. And it's like, all right.
Your kid's closer to that than my kid. My kid told me that he wants to go either to somewhere cold or to Los Angeles. So I'm like, okay, that's two sides of the country. So.
Hey, the only good thing about this is now the next 2 years, I know what our summer vacations are. One, we're going to go out east and look at colleges, and one, we're going to go out west. I just hope he doesn't end up at Cincinnati. University of Cincinnati is a fine enough school. I don't want him to be able to come home whenever he wants. So,
understood.
All right. We are going to do now. I originally told you we were going to do the 10 best Simpsons quotes. Now, you and I do not have each other's list. I don't know if there's going to be crossover. I had also written about 30 down. What my thought was on this is I wanted this to come off the top of my head. Now, yes, I did type into the Google Simpsons quotes and stuff, but most of this I wanted to come off the top of my head. And I also wanted to think of what are some Simpsons quotes that I use every single day in my life?
Yeah, now that was part of my parameters as well.
Now, I am going to be surprised, let's say, if we each have the same. I did not copy the episodes down. I'm sorry. Season, whatever, But and I'm working very hard not to say some right now because we'll go through them. We're going to do, we'll do each of us, or we'll just trade off. We'll do a few in the first half and do the second half. And then at the end, we'll talk about some that we did not put on there. Like, there's one I did not put on my list that I probably use at least 5 times a week.
You know, I had to make space. And much like you were saying, I didn't put the episodes down or when this happened in the episode or timestamps or anything. I kind of went off what you went off was, what do I use the most? What do I say to my wife the most? My kids have really gotten into The Simpsons, so we say stuff with them. But also, I tend to pick what people would call quote-unquote deeper cuts, stuff that I use. So I can explain what's happening within the episode when I tell the quote, but these quotes are simply just the ones that I use are, they're ones I use all the time. They're ones that make me laugh whenever I hear them, and I can explain what's going on when I use these quotes. So that's why I picked the 10 that I picked. And a little behind the scenes for everybody here is I had weeks to prepare for this.
Yes.
I wrote a ton of stuff down. And even last night, the night before we record this, I still had to pare it down from about 30 to 10. So please don't yell at me about you didn't do this, you didn't do that. These are strictly, it's what I tell my kid all the time about lists. These are my 10 favorite Simpsons.
And I didn't really, there's one that I have that is definitively number one. It is my favorite. But the rest of these, they're not really ranked. They're just kind of there.
Yeah.
I think the most perfect joke I've ever seen in my life is on an episode of The Simpsons, but it has no words whatsoever. It's the one in the burlesque house where Grandpa Simpson walks in, turns around and walks right back in. I was even consulting with my son about this on the way to and from practice. What are great jokes that you see and what are great jokes that you hear? So these are the actual quotes. I'm kicking myself because of some that I left out, but I'm going to wait till the end because I don't want to take anything away from you. So let's get to it, Ty. Give me your first great Simpsons quote.
Now, do you want my number one or just...
No, we'll do number one at the end.
Right off the bat, when you told me about this, there was one quote that came to mind. This is not my all-time favorite one. It's just the first one that came to mind was, Hurricane Nettie is the episode, so I do know that, but it's when they go back in time and that is talking to his psychiatrist and goes back in time talking about his parents. And his dad says, "You gotta help us, Doc. We've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas." I use this quote regularly when referencing people who I may think aren't parenting their kids that well when I'm out with my wife. I say it when I do something mistakenly with my kids that I'm like, "Oh, that's a bonehead move by me. I shouldn't have done that. We've tried nothing, comma, and we're all out of ideas." To me, that's just straight up brilliant. And I love that The Simpsons did that. I love that Ned Flanders with these like hippie beatniks and he's, you know, this choir boy churchgoer. And that line explains so much about why Ned is the way he is. And you can use it when talking about other people's kids as well.
Right off the top, you already took one of mine. So, that is far and away one of my favorite lines ever. I don't do it anymore, but I used to do this local political podcast. And whenever the local city council would complain about how they don't have any ideas or people aren't listening to them, I would always play this quote. I have it actually programmed into my board where it's Ned's parents going, "We tried nothing and we're all," or "Doc, we tried nothing and we're all out of ideas." Because
when I just love that Ned's dad goes on to be like, "We don't believe in discipline, man. We gave it up when we're freaky beatniks." That's like telling Gene Krupa not to go. How it continues to go on after that.
Oh, yeah. No, it is far and away one of my favorite. Like that's the genius of the writing. Somebody had recently done what's the best 30 Rock joke. And it was just a murderer's row of great stuff. And I think about like just how perfect that one of them was Tracy Morgan on Larry King. And it said on the bottom, "Star of White Cop, Black Cop, and Who Dat Ninja." I mean, just these little perfect things. That's what that particular Simpsons quote is. It's just a perfectly made joke.
Uh-huh. Totally agree.
All right. Well, let's get on to the next one because you already took one of mine.
Oh, so you want me to do the next one?
Yeah.
All right. Again, it's a very short quote, but it's something my wife and I say all the time. And it's when Milhouse is wearing his pants that go up past his ankles. I can't remember what they're called or whatever, but when he realizes, "Oh, my socks are soaking wet, but my ankles are bone dry," then he says, "Everything's coming up Milhouse." And to me, that perfectly explains Milhouse because, like, he's just a schlub. He's just like a side character. He's just somebody who just gets put upon all the time. He is the young version of Kirk Van Houten. And for him to be so excited about his ankles being bone dry when there's flooding going on and to say everything's coming up Milhouse, it perfectly describes Milhouse in all of his glory. When I think of Milhouse, this is the quote that comes up all the
time. Yeah, that is one I had on my short list. I dropped it off, but you're absolutely right. That's one of the most perfect Milhouse quotes ever. I mean, I am going to get to another Milhouse quote later, but that is probably the defining one.
It perfectly tells you everything you need to know about Milhouse. Like, takes joy in the small things, but the small things are what makes him think he's really making it in this world.
Yeah. So to go different, there is an episode of The Simpsons that is loaded with these quotes. I know some people, when it came out, really hated the episode, but it's the one with Linguo. And it's
love that episode.
So do I. Just how wild it is. But again, when I think of things that I say every day, there's a scene at the end where Linguo is falling into an alley and Italian Guidos are like seeing him and they're like, "Hey, you and me," or what is it? "Me and him are going to whack you in the Labanza."
The Labanza. What does that even mean?
Where I think about that quote all the time.
I feel like we used to say that to each other when we lived together.
And it's their grammar is so bad, it makes Linguo blow up.
Keep saying that over and over again.
So I don't even know, but there's a lot of quotes from that episode, but that's the one that just, and that's the other thing I tried to do. I tried not to double up on a lot of episodes here, but that is one that I say constantly.
And that's such a good episode. Yeah, Linguo is, there's so many lines just that Linguo says that I adore from that episode.
All right, what do you got next?
So another one that I have that you and I, now, It's funny. I was talking to my son about this morning, and he's like, I've never heard you say that before. And I said, Miles, when I lived with your Uncle Cubby, we said this quote all the time. And I love this one so much because it is such a throwaway line. The line that I wrote here is, that yodel was so good, I wish I was eating right now. Homer ate a yodel because he had an opportunity to buy a lottery ticket or a yodel, a winning lottery ticket or a yodel, and he picked the yodel. And he's sitting there at home eating. He finished it, and he's thinking about it. And then the very next thing that happens is Apu knocks on the door, and Homer goes, oh, crap, I forgot to tell Marge. And so Marge has to pretend to be Apu's wife. But for Homer to be sitting at home having this big news he needs to tell his wife, but all he's thinking about is yodel and how good it was, and he wishes he was eating it right now. Whenever I eat something really good, I think of that line. You and I, again, when we lived together, we said it all the time. Like, whenever I taste food that I enjoy, my first thought is that yodel was so good, I wish I was eating it now. And I don't even know what a yodel
is. Yeah. When I talk about these jokes and how they're perfectly well-written, and I, again, go back to the 30 Rock thing, it's always not the delivery of the joke, but it's like the next line that makes you think, even if the joke is ridiculous, it makes you know that in this world it's not. Now, this is the one where Lisa is failing gym, and she imagines a future where she's being inaugurated as president. And then somebody says, oh, Miss President-elect was failed gym. And they're like, that's it. You're banned to Monster Island. And then the guy leans in and he says, don't worry, it's just a name. And then it cuts to her and all these people running away from monsters. And she's like, I thought he said it was a name. And the guy said, oh, Monster Island is actually a peninsula. And anytime I like to just say something ridiculous, I'll say, oh, it's actually a peninsula.
That's fantastic. I forgot about that one, too. I'm glad you brought that back into my memory.
It is. It is perfect in the way that it's done. Because
it's a lot like, because like you said, it leads to something else. You know,
yeah.
Like these jokes always lead to something else.
And that's where you're going to see a lot of these go. But yeah, it's like just greatness. All right.
So when just thinking of these quotes, too, is just making me laugh.
You're right. I hope I'm not taking one away. But I remember when Conan O'Brien was like the showrunner. This isn't on my list, but. Mm-hmm. And I think about this a lot because I think at the time I didn't think anything of it. But he said his favorite written line of The Simpsons ever was there's like Homer's imagining when he was younger and he was a gymnast or he was singing, I think.
He was a gymnast, too.
Yeah. But Grandpa Simpson in this flashback says, oh, young Homer's going to make me a lot of money. And it's like,
that's Conan, not mine, but yeah, I
know. Yeah. Conan's like, it was so perfect. Why the hell would he say young Homer at that time?
Why would Grandpa say Homer?
So I that's what I think about with the Monster Island's actually a peninsula. All right. So what do you got for me next?
So another one that this is probably the most famous, quote unquote, famous quote I have on here, but it's something my wife and I say all the time. My wife adores Ralph Wiggum. Like, she's a big Ralph Wiggum fan, and he's got a lot to pick from, but my personal favorite, and I believe her personal favorite too, is when Ralph is in the computer room playing on a computer, and he's like, okay, you know, he spells cat, right, or whatever.
A Kalika.
And then Lisa, Principal Skinner, and Superintendent Chalmers walked in, and Ralph says the line, hi, Lisa. Hi, Super Nintendo Chalmers. we quote that all the time. I had to stop myself when I said superintendent because when I see it on my kids' stuff, I think Super Nintendo. Every time I see that, it is, again, like everything's coming up Milhouse. This is almost epitome perfect Ralph because, like, he doesn't know. He's just happy that he spelled the word cat right on his Coleco computer that he's using. And my wife loves Ralph Wiggum, so this was just an easy one for me to put on here and for me to keep. This is one of the earlier ones I wrote down, too.
Yeah, there's to this day. If I'm talking about my boys, the school district my son goes to, and I say superintendent, he'll be Super Nintendo.
Exactly. And again, to me, that's something I would have never thought about. I like to fancy myself a writer. I would have never thought about it, but it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So this is early. I want to say it's like the second or third season or something. I can't remember the exact premise of this, but Homer had written a letter to Mr. Burns, and just ripping them to shreds. And Marge is like, you know, maybe you should think about before you mail it. And Bart ends up going to mail it anyways. So Homer's trying to get the letter back. So they go to the post office and Homer says in a made up voice, he's like, "Hello, my name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have some mail for me." And the post office guy goes, "Okay, Mr. Burns, what's your first name?" And then Homer goes, "I don't know."
And then blames Bart.
Yes. Afterwards, you see him, and that's the other part of the quote. All right, let's get a few more in here before the break. What do you got next?
Okay, so I'm like trying to save my big ones for the next half of the thing, but this one has always stuck out to me. I recently wrote on our website about my love of Lord of the Flies, and The Simpsons did a great episode where they parodied that and everything, but the line from that, and I have bagged on this restaurant my entire life, but the line from that I always think about, and when I am hungry, I will say this all the time, but I don't know if Sherry or Terry says it, but it's when they're all sitting around the campfire and one of the twin girls says, "I'm so hungry I could eat at Arby's," and every other kid's like, "Oh, you must be that." I don't like Arby's. I live in St. Louis. I'm fortunate enough that I have a Lion's Choice here, so I don't even have to eat there. But any time that I'm like hungry, I'll think or say, "I'm so hungry I could eat at Arby's." And it just makes it all the better that all the little kids are like, "Oh, wow, you must be hungry." And I love that line.
And there's another one where like Marge says something like, people say crazy things all the time. Like on TV, they said, "Eat at Arby's." Or the one where Kirk and Luann get divorced and he's at the singles apartment and the guy's like, "Oh, they found a dead possum in the pool." He's like, "Oh, throw it over the fence. It's Arby's problem now."
And they are always ripping on Arby's.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but.
Well, I mean, I know that you lived here and you had Lion's Choice, but you and your kid like Arby's, right?
He does. I won't eat the roast beef there. I won't.
Gotcha.
We don't have Lion's Choice. Cool. And there is literally an Arby's like 5 minutes from where I am. So a lot of times it's easy. And my wife and my son, they'll get their beef and cheddar or whatever. I'll get a chicken sandwich or something.
You ever think you're so hungry you can eat an Arby's?
Yeah, I think every time I go, that's in my mind. Now, there's a few quotes I use around my wife all the time, but the one that stayed on the list, that whenever my wife is telling me like something real, because, you know, she's smart, I always say, "Water doesn't follow your rules. It goes where it wants to go." That was from when they're in Australia and Lisa's telling Bart about the water.
Going the other.
So I will tell my wife all the time, "So-and-so doesn't follow your rules. It goes where it wants to go."
Does she know what you're saying?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. She knows. Absolutely. Like I said, there's another one I use all the time. It's not really one of my favorite quotes, but yeah, when she's trying to be all smart on me and tell me something that I know is wrong or that I know I'm wrong on, that's what I
was gonna say. Yeah, you're wrong. She's right.
All right, let's get one more in here, then we'll take a break.
Okay, I'll go to the break with actually one that is one of my favorites and I do use quite a bit. I actually have been grilling at home a lot lately. So anytime I go out to my grill, I think about it. And it's the episode, I don't know the name, but it's the one where Marge becomes like an artist. And the episode is when Homer is trying to put together a grill. And he says, "Oh, English side directions ruined. French side, I have to use that." And he's looking at it, he says, "Lake grill? What the hell is that?" I say that all the time, like all the time. And to me, it's the simplicity of that joke that makes it so great, because they start off with like, okay, the English side's messed up. He's got to read French. The first thing that it says on is lake grill. And Homer, no idea what that means. I love how angry Homer is and how it's so simple that anybody knows what lake grill would mean. Except for Homer. So he gets so angry that he says, "What the hell is that?" after saying "Le Grill."
Yes. Yes. That is an all time great one. So I do these movie reviews and stuff like that. And I watch all kinds of movies. I've been very, very lucky, even though we did not get the Sundance Film Festival here in Cincinnati, that for the last year and a half or so, I'd worked on that project. So I would go see tons of movies as we try to update these old theaters and things like that. I see a lot of different movies. I see the quote unquote highbrow movies. I was lucky enough. I saw Sinners, which is a great movie. And I've seen some terrible films like Megalopolis and stuff like that.
I still want to see that. Yeah. It's not anywhere in the street.
No. And there's like Shin Godzilla is coming back to the theaters for its 10th anniversary or something. So I'll go see a lot of movies like that. Jaws is going to be playing next week.
Oh, that's rad.
So I'll get people that will say, well, what kind of movies do you like? And I'll always use this quote where I'll say, okay, Barney's movie had heart and emotion, but Football in the Groin had a football in the groin.
Oh, that's so perfect. Like, it's so perfect because we are, my family, if we're going to see the new Fantastic Four movie this weekend, but I'm so much more excited about watching Happy Gilmore 2. And I know it's going to be bad, but Happy Gilmore 2 might have a football on the ground.
Yes.
Fantastic World at heart. And Gilmore 2 might have a football.
So yeah, that's why I like, just sometimes I just got to see that football on the groin. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's there was a old like social media post or something that said American Godzilla movies are all weird, mystical pseudoscience and Godzilla's your friend, where Japanese Godzilla movies are like, oh shit, it's Godzilla.
We gotta get out of here.
So that's what I think. Sometimes I just want a football in the groin.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. Like, it's interesting because last weekend you talk about like seeing different movies and stuff. I saw Eddington, which is Ari Aster's new movie, and Superman. Mm-hmm. And my son said, which one did you like better? And I told him that's a loaded question because these are two totally different movies with totally different vibes growing in. And like, not that Superman had a football on the groin, but Superman was much more fun. And Eddington was much more serious. So that's kind of how I looked at those two.
Hello, all. This is RD, and I wanted to come in and say this episode of the Ex Millennial Man podcast is sponsored by our Patreon. Go to patreon.com and look up Ex Millennial Man podcast. You go there to help support Ty and I support the show, but it also, we're bringing out some exclusive content here for our patrons. So please come on over. Also, have some ideas for maybe a few giveaways, because don't you all want to be rocking your Ex Millennial Man t-shirt, beanie, hat, whatever it may be. And also, the show is brought to you by Public Form Productions. That's a network of podcasts that the Ex-Millennial Man is part of, along with First Watch Rewatch, High Heels and Politics, and then coming soon, A History of the 1980s Satanic Panic. So again, patreon.com, Ex-Millennial Man, Public Form Productions. Thank you, and let's get back to the conversation. Okay, Ty, we're into our final four. And again, these aren't necessarily any of these quotes I could have put as 2 through 10. It's my number one is number one with a bullet. It's this thing that I think of the most whenever I think it's one of the most perfectly crafted jokes ever. But before we get there, give me another great Simpsons quote.
So there's an episode where Springfield Elementary is running out of money. Like, they don't have any money and they're trying to figure out ways to do it. So the kids put on a play for Mr. Burns to try and get him to do stuff. And there's one scene where Ralph comes out and he's like, oh, you got something wrong with your liver bones. And his name is Dr. Stupid, by the way. He's like, hi, I'm Dr. Stupid.
Never.
Yeah, there's something wrong with your liver bones. And he cuts his head off. And then they flash over to Mr. Burns watching this play. And he says, I never liked that Dr. Stupid. I think about that more than I admit, because like this quote to me tells me that there is a moment in Mr. Burns' life where he had a doctor whose name was Dr. Stupid, and Mr. Burns never liked him. And for the kids to put on this ridiculous play, for Ralph to be doing it, and Mr. Burns to say, I never liked that Dr. Stupid, I can't help but smile and chuckle every time I think of that one.
Again, you probably don't have this on there, and it's one I think about because these just little weird asides from Mr. Burns, like when the Ramones play his birthday party and he says, have the Rolling Stones killed. Or when he's imagining back in time and some Irishman's like, we're going to strike and the workers are going to get rights. And Mr. Burns, like, he's shooting at him and he's laughing. And he's like, what was I laughing at? Oh, yeah, that crippled Irish.
Mr. Burns is just furious.
Because what was I laughing at? Oh, yeah.
It's just straight up evil. But yeah, just like when I thought about that quote too, in my mind, I was thinking, so that means he has ran into a doctor whose last name is. And they had a run in the past.
All right. So The monorail episode is loaded. It's a lot of people think it's the best episode of the show. It's the best written. It's just nonstop, front to back.
Did Conan write that one?
Yes. Yes, he did. It's a classic episode. And there are so many lines in it that are just super iconic. But the one I will always remember is near the end when Marge gets, Leonard Nimoy plays him, but gets a scientist. And she's like, Homer, I've got somebody that can help. Is it Batman? No, no, it's a scientist. And then Homer says, Batman's a scientist.
Homer's not wrong.
No, right. And that is, I think more of that when I think of Batman than any movie ever has been. I just think of Homer going, Batman's a scientist.
In his monorail outfit. There's another one from that I'm sure neither of us have on our list, though, but it's when they're like going round and round and Leonard Nimoy is like going into some deep conversation about something and the guy sitting next to him says, anybody want to change seats? Like, it's just, again, that episode is full of them, but yeah, you mentioning that, like, I totally, again, it's a line I don't think about. And now we bring it up, it makes me just howl with laughter because Homer's right. Batman does have some scientist abilities in him.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, it's just perfect. And yes, I know people are going to complain. Most of mine are Homer lines, but he's got the...
I told my son that 6 of my 10 were Homer lines. Yeah. So people, you really better get into it because I believe, yeah, my top 3 that are coming up, all Homer Simpsons.
Yeah, well, let's get into it.
So yeah, the next one, this is something my wife and I say all the time. It's one of my favorite lines I think they've ever written. It's not my favorite. This is one that makes me laugh every time I see it, every time I hear it, every time I think about it. And it's the episode where they get the tennis court and Bart kind of takes over for Homer because he's better at it. So Homer is having a quote unquote therapy session with Lisa. Lisa says to him, oh, I think you're suffering from an Oedipal complex. Homer says, what's that? Lisa says, it's when Oedipus killed his dad and married his wife. And then Homer says, oh, who pays for that? We say that all the time. And again, Homer's mind goes to, oh my goodness, this son killed his dad and they have to pay. Because who does? Like, it's a legitimate question in my mind. Who pays for that? Because, it, you know, in quote unquote tradition, in a traditional marriage thing, the wife's family pays for the wedding. That's, and the husband, mm-hmm. the groom pays for the rehearsal dinner. The wife's family pays for the wedding. So who would pay for that wedding? And there's so many other things that go on with that. Like, even when Bart says, when Homer's dreaming about it, Bart's like, he thought that trip to the guillotine factory was, you know, the best place for this or whatever. Literally, no, I would shoot him. Like, there's stuff like that that's going on in there. But Homer questioning Lisa with who pays for that wedding to me is just, we say it all the time in our house. My wife and I will see that. We'll watch stuff on TV and just anything that seems gross to us, we will inevitably say, oh, who pays for that one?
Yeah. So speaking of just the weird asides of Homer, there's the episode where Lisa thinks she has the Simpsons gene and she's going to get dumber. And I didn't put this one on there, but it's one that I say all the time where, you know, he used to be smart as an ape, but now he's dumb as a chimpanzee or something yeah. like that. But Lisa decides she has to, her last bit of intelligence, she has to go on TV. And the TV guy is like, well, you have to have a political opinion. She's like, well, I'm very much against Proposition 326. And he's like, war pensions or pensions for war widows? And it's just this throwaway thing. And you see Lisa gets on TV and Homer and Marge are watching. She's like, I'm supposed to talk against Proposition 326. And then Homer, all angry, says, mooching war widows.
It's so perfect because he's already mad so that when he says, I hope she's out baking me in a
college. Yes, yes. Mooching war widows, which is the name of my fantasy football team this year. I just yep. love how upset he is about
it. It's even a deeper meaning now with how messed up politics are in America that somebody like Homer, who would probably unfortunately be MAGA, well, maybe not, maybe you wouldn't, but that's something that those people get angry about is war widows and war pensions. Yeah. And Homer's so frustrated about it.
Like, I can't remember who somebody was running for. I think it was Krusty. And they were like, well, 4 of you can't vote or something like that. And Homer's like, I'm not even registered.
Oh, man, Homer, living the dream.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the tops here.
So these are my top two lines. These are ones I use all the time. These are ones that I love. These are ones that when I think about it, I crack up. But the first one is, they built a doghouse for Santa's Little Helper. And they're going to put Santa's Little Helper out there one day, and he won't go in there. And the kids are looking in there or whatever. And they go get their dad. And I don't know if it's Bart or Lisa, or they're like, I think it's a badger in the house. And Homer says, badger my ass, it's probably Milhouse. And then he goes in there, he gets his insides all ripped apart and stuff. And he says, yeah, definitely badger, maybe a griffin. But the whole idea that Homer doesn't believe his kids, I just love how Homer's just so flippant, doesn't care about it, doesn't think it's a badger, and goes in there, and as he's walking in, that's his line, badger my ass, comma, it's probably just Milhouse.
So this was kind of a last minute edit, and I'm going to talk about, because originally I had this other quote, but I'll go to it. But I think of stuff I say all the time. The one that I probably do reference more than anything, though, is the one where Homer's like going to stop drinking. And Marge says she's taking this quiz and she's like, do you ever drink alone? And then Homer says, is the Lord count as a person? How many times I will say, if I'm having a drink or something like that, and my wife or someone would be like, you know, are you drinking alone? And I'm like, well, the Lord counts as a person.
Man, that's kind of perfect.
Because it's just the thing. Now, I always like, maybe I shouldn't be drinking alone. But then I'm like, you know, I've got the Lord with me. All right, what do you got? Because mine was a no doubt number one. But what do you have as number one?
This was probably the first thing I thought of when I did this, and it's the one that makes me laugh. I know I've said this to you on the telephone. I've said it to my wife. I've said it to our father, who was very confused by me when I said it, and I've said it to other people. But the line, Homer is at work. So why he's doing this while he's at work, I'll never know. But he runs up in a towel, picks up the phone, and says, you'll have to speak up, I'm wearing a towel. I adore everything about that line because it's so nonsensical. It's epitome Homer Simpson, because he would say something like that. And the image of him wearing a towel while at work, telling the person on the other line, you'll have to speak up, I'm wearing a towel, makes me giggle to no end. I love that line. I use that line constantly. I answer the phone with that line sometimes. I love it. I absolutely love that.
There's another one I took off too, but I'll get to it. But there's no doubt to me that when I talk about the most perfectly crafted joke in like so many Simpsons episodes, the one that I think of again and again, and it's the episode where they have the casino in Springfield, the first episode with the casino, and Marge has been going to the casino a lot. And so they're all stuck at the house, and Lisa like comes in and she's like, oh, Dad, I'm afraid. Can I sleep in your room? And he's like, oh, that's okay, honey. What's wrong? She's like, well, I know it sounds crazy, but I had a dream about the boogeyman. And Homer freaks out. Yeah. And the line I think of is when he goes into Bart's room and he leans in and he says, Bart, I don't mean to alarm you, but there may be a boogeyman or boogeymen in the house.
Yep. It's so good because his eyes get so big when he starts a boogeyman.
It's like when Lisa comes in, he's like, get the shotgun or something like that.
It's so good. But, it is so good. That's a great line. It's a fantastic.
I mean, I think of that all the time.
And the fact that he pluralized it.
Yes, boogeyman or boogeyman. In the house, it just, oh my God, I think of it. And again, that episode's another one that's just filled with great lines all the way through.
Well, it's fantastic.
But that one right there is just so perfect. So
I think our two top lines kind of fit both of us pretty well.
Yes.
With what we were going with.
Now, I will say there are two lines, and I'll get to yours, but there are two that I'm like, were on my list, and I'm like, I use multiple times a week. One is, remember, we're parked in the itchy lot.
Oh, yeah. Anytime we go, same thing.
Yeah.
All the time.
And then the other one is, when are they going to get to the fireworks factory?
We use that one. That was great.
Do you have a few that were on just off your list?
So my kids actually, because they watch The Simpsons a ton, they both gave me really good ones. My daughter was telling me about a Treehouse of Horror where it's like the Ring type video. And I guess Grandpa watched it, and they say to him, Grandpa, you watched the video. You only have 7 days left to live. And Grandpa says, three more than the doctor's giving me, which I thought was really good. And my son's talking, was telling me about the one where Homer becomes a boxer. And he says, Marge says to him, of all the crazy things you've done, this is somewhere in the middle, which I think is just great. But then there's other stuff like when Homer and Bart are grifters, and Bart's acting like he's blind, and Homer says to him, don't worry, you'll work that off in the end. I love that. Or classic ones with Ralph saying, me fail English, that's impossible. Or what's his face? The Arnold Schwarzenegger type actor whose name I can't think of says, my eyes, the goggles do nothing. Yeah. He plays McBain. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Rainier Wolfcastle.
Yeah. My eyes, the goggles do nothing. I had on my list, Boy-Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They were the suck. You know, I've seen team stuff before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked. Yeah. I got to go with my damn weenie. Anything with Disco Stew. Just random stuff that he can do. One of my favorite ones that was probably 11 for me is when Homer and Marge are separated and Homer's living with the gay guys and Marge comes over and they're like telling her to go out and Homer says, date a girl with kids. And then kind of, there's another one too. I know that you say a lot. Why can't I have three money and no kids? Yep. Like we could go on and on and on with all this stuff. And I mean, even something ridiculous where they use a Prince line where Milhouse meets the other Milhouse. And then when they're embracing each other, regular Milhouse says, this is what it feels like when dumps around. I love that. Like, that's fantastic to me. So,
yeah, I had
Grandpa has a million lines. Like, you know, yeah, it's just, it's fantastic.
Well, that was probably my son's favorite episode is the Max Power one. And we were talking about, because I had, there's the right way, the wrong way, and the Max Power way. And they're like, isn't that just the wrong way? Yes.
But fast. Yeah.
But I know his favorite. And one. And again, the quote, you have to see the joke, but it's when they're showing the first police cops and they're stealing the bank. And he, and the officer Homer Simpson ends up shooting the guy. Then he goes, arrest that guy.
He's been shot multiple times.
Yeah. And
just even in that vein, when Homer beats up the Hamburglar type character and he
yes,
death and the kid says he's already
I didn't have any crusty lines, but there was
I thought of, let me get this straight, you bet all your money on generals and crusty said I thought they were something we say a lot.
Yeah. And another one that, again, it's just something in my general lexicon with my wife, and it's like, well, history's written by the winners. And then Homer says, I thought it was written by losers. Which, another one that I say to my wife all the time, but it's when Bart, it's the Australia episode again, where Bart says, stupid Lisa Science Queen. Like,
yeah, that's fantastic.
I will say that. I also, the casino one where he makes the Florida outfit for Lisa. And she's like, I'm not a state, I'm a monster. And Homer says, no, there's only one monster here, and he's enslaved your mother. I call him Gambler, and I will get her from his neon clutches. We'll be listening to the Reds game or something, and there'll be a casino advertisement, and they'll always be like, got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, and my son will always go, Gambler.
Totally. And like, you know, I mentioned the Lord of the Rings episode, and that's when, you know, Bart's like, we'll live like Swiss Family Robinson, only with more swearing. We'll live like kings. Damn hell ass kings.
Yeah.
Or there's another one with, God, I wish I could remember exactly the quote, but Homer's talking about books to Bart. He's like, oh, you should read this one, Pirates of Smuggler's Cove. And Bart's like, oh, all those books are about pirates. And, oh, that's how. Says all those books are about pirates. And Homer says, not this one, Pirates of Smuggler's Cove. It's about smugglers. They just turn stuff like that.
Now, there are three that these are things I use in regular conversation. And my best man speech at your wedding, I used cromulent and embiggen. Where that joke is perfect is they're doing the whole Jebediah Springfield thing. He's like, you know, the so-and-so embiggen, the smallest man. And the one teacher's like, I never heard that word embiggen until I moved to Springfield. And then Ms. Krabappel says, well, why? It's a perfectly cromulent word.
Perfectly cromulent.
Or, I think it was a Treehouse of Horrors where it was like, it was the 13th day of the 13th month and we were there to talk about the misprinted calendars. And Homer looks at it and goes, lousy smarch weather.
Lousy smarch weather, yeah.
I mean, and then the, like, you know, the Chinese have the same word for crisis and opportunity. Homer says, yes, crisis-tunity. I mean, crisis-tunity is a real word in my life.
Oh, well, and like Relisa, you know, explains Schadenfreude to Homer. You know, those Germans have a word for everything. You mentioned best man speeches at your wedding. I believe I said to your wife that you once told me she was as pretty as Leia and as smart as Yoda. Like, we use stuff. And again, these are speeches we're giving in front of family and friends. Mm-hmm. Like, and my schooling was fine, but I've learned more from watching The Simpsons than I ever learned in school. I didn't know what Schadenfreude was until I heard them talk about it on The Simpsons. I didn't know certain stuff. Like, you mentioned the fireworks factory thing too, and we could have done a ton from the Poochie episode. Yeah,
where's Poochie?
Or you know, I had to go to my home planet, or even the whole idea of we want him to be the dog from hell, and the guy says Cerberus, and they're like, no. Or even the episode where Grandpa, the pseudonym for the kids, and the guy who does Itchy and Scratchy is like, oh, Abe, you want to come on a tour with us? And how many steps are there? Just two. And Abe says nuts to you. Like, there's stuff like that that I constantly.
Now, in my day job, I work in politics. And so I often, whenever anybody asks me about Washington, D.C., I will always quote Lisa, where she says, it was built on a swamp. It stank back then and it stinks today.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I talk about general Republicans, and I'll do the sideshow Bob, that your guilty conscience makes you vote Democrat, but deep down you want a Republican who will brutalize criminals, lower taxes, and rule you like a king.
Yeah. I also love the Sideshow Bob and his ad when he's running for mayor. He's like, when we even let Sideshow Bob out of jail.
Yeah. Paid for by Sideshow Bob. Yeah. And then I don't know how many times I will say, make the bears pay the bear tax. I pay the Homer tax.
I could do top 50 Simpsons. I still feel like I left that out thinking of stuff like that.
Yeah, and I know a lot of this too, that people will say, well, the Simpsons gets this whole, it was only great between like the second and seventh season or something like that. I do too. It's one of those shows, I mean, we're recording this right after South Park just absolutely lit a fire to Trump and Paramount and all that stuff. And
I watched South Park in years, but I think I'm going
to
watch it.
I did. I was about to say the same. I hadn't watched it in years, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this episode. And it's still good. I could still probably go back. That's the thing with The Simpsons, is it's still good. But a lot of these quotes, they've been around 20 years. So we've been saying them a lot more. And that's why these are kind of up there.
Absolutely.
Well, Ty, if they need to send you out to Monster Peninsula, where are they going to find you?
Perfectly cromulent peninsula. Yeah. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, Ty Kulik, TYKULIK, all lowercase. More importantly, come read my stuff on SeedSing, SEEDSING.com, pop culture, sports, all that's on there. You can hear me on a few episodes of Chucklehead Chat, hosted by our buddy Glenn Adams. He's doing stand-up around town still. We were supposed to get together to record recently, but some stuff came in, so hopefully I'm going to be on that. But again, Chucklehead Chat, wherever you get podcasts. Check out our Patreon, First Watch Rewatch. I've been seeing a ton more movies lately. But most importantly, you can hear me on this podcast, the Ex-Millennial Man Podcast. Rate, review us, tell your friends about us. And as always, Black Lives.
Yeah, speaking of First Watch Rewatch, it will be coming back September. And the first movie you're going to watch is Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, because...
Man, we just did that on How Did This Get Made recently. So yeah. I'm curious about that movie. John Cryer's in it, I hear.
Is he in that one or is he in 3? Yeah, he is in 4. Pryor. Yeah, yeah. No, 3 is the Richard Pryor one.
Okay. Either way, I'm excited to watch it.
Because we're in the shadow of what a lot of people say is the first good Superman movie in like 40 years. So
is Superman 4 the canon one?
Yes.
Canon Films one? Okay.
Yes. And that's why I thought that it would be good. But yeah, we will have that. And then coming very soon to Patreon, I'm going to have you and my wife both do this, where with First Watch Rewatch, I've got something called a very special episode where we're going to watch these quote unquote very, I'm still trying to figure out where to get them all, but these very special episodes, like in the 1980s, they used to try to teach us lessons through television.
Well, they did it with Saved by the Bell when Jesse takes all the pills, caffeine pills.
But the first one we're going to do is The Different Strokes with the child molester. So
I've never seen that episode.
But yeah, we're going to do that on, that will be the Patreon thing. So look out for that. And With all that being said, we thank you for your ears. Anything else that you may use to listen to the Ex-Millennial Man podcast? Remember, we're here every Saturday for free, wherever you find your fine podcasts and shows. And go out there and have a good sweat while you run, Ty, because it is blazing.
That's the plan. Stay fresh, cheese bags.
The Ex-Millennial Man podcast is a production of SeedSing.com, fully owned by R.D. Kulik & Associates, LLC. Producers Ty Kulik and Ryan Kulik, adequately engineered by Ryan Kulik.